everybody. Thanks for joining us again. In this episode, we sat down again with Beverly McChesney. You may remember her from our previous episode 134, The Channeler and the Dragonmeister. We enjoyed talking to her so much that we had to have her back to discuss more fun stuff, and it was delightfully fun.
Yeah, she had a lot of great stories, a lot of cool things to talk about.
Wonderful.
And some great advice for all of us.
So please stay to the end to get that, because it is advice that we all desperately need right now.
Yes, it sure is. Little housekeeping, just that I wanted to remind everybody again, if you want to join us for our spooky happy hour, birthday happy hour, whatever.
Bash.
Happy birthday. We need a name for this thing instead
we
of
do.
Just saying
I don't know.
Out
I
words.
Like spooky birthday, happy hour, birthday hour, happy. I mean, you said happy hour a lot.
Yeah, just hour as many times as possible.
Yep.
That's October 26th. That's a Sunday. And I think we'll probably do it at 2 because then that people in the UK can join.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be in the middle of the night for them. So we'll probably do it at 2 o'clock on October 26th. So join our Patreon so that you can join us for that. And hopefully you'll stick around after that. But yeah. If you don't, if you just want to come for that, that's fine too. But that's probably pretty much all we got going on for that one right now. But for now, please enjoy our conversation with Beverly McChesney. All right. Well, thank you for joining us again today.
Yes, thank you.
We're
it's
so
my
excited.
Pleasure.
We had so much fun last time.
We did have so much fun.
And I listened to your episode again and I was like, I just wanted to refresh my mind of everything we talked about because I didn't want to ask you the same questions over again. And we just kept saying, oh, we're running out of time and we have so much more to talk about. We have to have you back on. So I'm glad we finally did that.
So here we
I
are.
I am too. I'm glad you agreed because we're a lot. So
I had a lot of fun. I did. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Good, good.
Well, we enjoyed it as well.
Thank you. a more fun podcast.
That's
our goal.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, our goal was to be really serious, but somehow it morphed into comedy.
I don't think that was ever the goal.
I can't imagine how that could have happened.
No.
I don't think Amy and I have ever been serious with each other a day in our lives.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. All right. Well, I don't know. Where should we start?
I have something I would like to talk to Beverly about because I am skeptical. So Amy and I recently went to see our medium, our psychic friend. And while we were there, I just want to preface this by saying I've never doubted her before. Everything she's ever said, except when she told me she saw a little girl in my future, I said, you better be looking at someone else. So I have never doubted what she said. She told me this time that I was a medium. Thank you. And I'm like, don't know. Sensitive?
Yeah.
100%.
Sensitive. I can't even say it. Sensitive, intuitive.
Yes.
I think if someone were around you, you would sense them in a certain frame of mind. I don't think it's something that would just happen all the time. When you walk in a room, you know there's dead people there, because there usually is when you walk in a room, anybody.
Yeah, you said that in the last episode.
But I think if you wanted to be, and you wanted to spend the time making those connections, you could be, because I think the gift is there. But I don't think it's something you really want to do.
No, because to me, that's like a huge responsibility. And there are some people that would be great for. I just don't want to be that person.
There is a reason I tell people I'm more psychic channel than medium, because medium is not really fun for me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it happens, but it's not my fun thing.
Yeah. Megan, I thought she was kind of playing to what you were asking her and what you were saying, though, because this was a group session that we did.
Yeah, with Amy and I together.
And Megan was saying, I want to learn how to hone my skills and my opening up and stuff like that. And I'm working with a shaman and da da da. And then she said, I think you asked her something like, is that something I could do? Or I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. And she said, there's really nothing to do. You're already a medium, which I have heard her say that everybody has the ability. You just have to learn how to use it.
Everybody has certain abilities. A lot of people in this, in their current life existence, choose not to use it. They come in not wanting it. And then others come in thinking it'd be helpful for people. I do think, though, that I know that everyone can do these things if they want to put in the work and the faith and the belief that it takes to do it. Is it necessarily a great thing to do? Not always.
Not for
and
me.
Then, too, you have to remember that any reading, they're filtering the information they get through a human mind. And it could have been she was picking up somebody on the other side of the couch or behind her. Or
that's
it's
true.
It's not a perfect science.
Well, for sure.
Anything that gets filtered through the human brain gets interpreted how that brain would interpret it.
And she did say that. And I mean, I really like her. I have, you know, I'll go to her again because I really do think that she is
feels
very
genuine
good at
to me. Yeah,
she does.
She feels genuine to me.
She really, I mean, she really does feel genuine to me.
I think she is. And you can tell that she really wants to help. Like she's not there for the money. She really wants to help. And she really wants to tell you what you need to hear.
And that's who you need to go to.
Yeah. And I thought she did a really good job that way. I was curious because she talked to me all about my career. And I'm like, I don't even have a career. What are you talking about? And so it was weird to me. And I expected like my dad to show up or something, you know, and nobody showed up. Sure, she didn't say anything about anybody showing
for
up.
For either of us.
For either of us.
And the other few times we've gone to her, there's always been people who've come through.
My dad shows
up
all the
time. They probably didn't feel like they needed to this time. They probably felt other things in the reading were more important. Or they could have been doing their work because they do have work on that side. And
they're busy.
In the state of the world today, they're very busy.
I don't even want to think about it. It's depressing. But
it could be something like that. They just didn't feel like you needed them in that moment.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah,
that could be.
And again, fully love her. We'll go back to her. I was just
she's great.
She is really. And she's just sweet. Like Amy said, like she's just a nice person.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want. You don't want the one that says, oh, you have a spell cast on you. And for $200, I can remove it.
Yeah. I a friend of mine went to someone like that. And then it was $700 because my friend was dumb enough to sit down and say, when the person said that this psychic said, what do you want to know about? And she said, I want to know when I'm going to find my Prince Charming or whatever. And so she responded with, oh, well, you have a spell on you or a curse on you, but I can remove it for
$750.
$750. Yeah. And that was in like 89 or something. This was.
That was a lot of money.
Yeah. Adjusted for inflation, that's like $4 million. Just kidding.
I know. Yeah, she didn't have that kind of money, so she didn't pay it. And then she got married, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah,
that was hilarious.
That's the ones that give psychics and mediums and channels all those a bad name.
Like Miss Cleo. Brilliant. Miss Cleo. Oh, Miss Cleo. That's all I can do of a Jamaican accent. So that's all
that,
I try.
I wouldn't try to do anymore. I can't do that.
Mm-mm. I watched a documentary on her and it was very interesting. And I think she had some sort of some abilities, but she, you know, in order to be Miss Cleo, she had to over exaggerate things and say things that probably weren't true and stuff like that.
She had to play the role.
Yeah.
Was she Jamaican?
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she was.
So what's new with you, Beverly? What's going on in your world?
Well, we have a show Saturday called the Full Moon Sisters Bazaar.
What?
It's actually Full Moon Sisters Bazaar Bazaar. But we have that Saturday. And then
that sounds like so much fun.
It's a vendor event, but we have belly dancers and a troupe of witches doing the witches dance and some flow artists. And so there's, and it's at a Corvette, at the Corvette Museum. So you got all these sexy cars around. And, so we're doing that Saturday. And then October 4th and 5th, we have a huge Halloween leaning kind of show called Spooky Moon Market. And that has musicians, and we're trying to get as many people in witch costume as we can to walk to the courthouse and break a record of sorts so that we can apply to Gannies. And there's all kinds of seminars, and there's belly dancers doing a vampire dance, and there's just a lot going on.
Wow.
So that's what we've got. That's what we're working on right now.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it is.
And what city are you in again?
I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
And then the one in October is in Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Okay. I remember you talking about Elizabethtown last time, that you were talking about a show you were getting ready to do then. Yeah.
It keeps me off the street, keeps me busy.
Yeah. Good, good. And how's the Dragonmeister?
The Dragonmeister's doing great. I'm sitting here looking at him. He's actually considering creating the Order of the Dragonmeister.
Oh,
he shows people
I
who naturally
fully
connect
that.
With dragons.
Wow.
And
that would
so he's
be so
working
cool.
on that.
Awesome.
I'm doing a fun thing on the 27th in a town called Owensboro. There's an old three-story mansion there called the Cupola. And someone took it and turned it into a private club.
Uh-huh.
And it was built in the early 1800s, and it's magnificent.
Oh my God.
And it's haunted. And
of course,
no one's ever checked it out. So
yeah.
That night we're doing, they get a shishi dinner, and they get an hour gallery with me, and they get a ghost hunt with the group and me, and they get little one card readings from someone there. So that's going to be a fun event.
That sounds so cool. And nobody's ever done a ghost hunt there?
If they have, they've not made it public. But
have
when
they
I walked
just
there,
not allowed it, or has nobody wanted
I think
to?
So. I think it was always, you know, people lived in it until it became a club. So
that is so cool.
Yeah.
We went there to meet with the chef and a person that's wanting to do this. And the first thing I saw when I went in was a lady in mid 1800s yellow dress, and it had a white ruffle around the bottom, and she was had a white like kerchief thingy on. And I looked upstairs, and there were two little kids peeking around going, ha, ha, ha. You know, they were in trouble. But I found out later that they weren't ghosts. I found out that there's a time slip at where all these stairs meet.
Oh,
and so we just caught a glimpse of their time.
Yeah.
And they were being naughty in their time.
Those
so that
silly.
Was children.
Oh, weird.
Okay, so what would somebody have to do, like a sensitive or somebody, to be able to see spirits like the way you do?
Well, I try to explain to people, sometimes I see them with my physical eyes, but usually it's in my mind's eye. And it just pops up in my head, and there it is.
Okay.
And then once it's there, I can usually hone in on it physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they just walk in front of me and I see them.
And they're like, hey, I'm here. And you're like, well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always around. There's so many. But we kind of work to keep our house clear. And, you know, you don't want too many strangers walking around.
Sure.
But, a lot of meditation, a lot of desire, a lot of allowing, a lot of faith that you can. It's like what I do, I have to have absolute faith that I can, otherwise I couldn't.
Oh, sure.
See, that's what Jenny was telling me too, and Amy too, was like, I'm my biggest enemy.
Yeah. Well, because
I'm afraid.
It's your fear. It's your fear.
It's my fear, because I'm afraid of negative things getting in, and I'm afraid of, you know, attracting something I don't want.
Yeah.
I think that it didn't come to me fully until I'd taken some courses where I felt like I knew how to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just natural. I just walk in, blast light, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's that simple. So,
if there was a time where you were like, I'm done with this, I don't want to do it anymore, could you turn it off?
I think so, because I really kind of do a little exercise to turn it on. Whenever it's full bore, like if I'm doing a gallery or something, I do a little exercise. I go out into the universe. I open some doors. I do some things. And so my deal with the universe when I started doing this was that the day I felt like it wasn't helping people or it became too stressful, I'd just stop.
Yeah, I remember you said that last time, too.
And also they had to agree that I didn't have to carry it around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even think about it unless there's some reason to. And then it turns off.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's fun.
It's so cool. Yeah, I know. I need to get out of my own way.
See, and I would really like to be able to do that. And I'm not afraid of
You're not.
Anything because I'm not, I shouldn't say I'm not afraid of anything.
She's
I'm not afraid
not
of anything attaching to me because I know that you know, everybody that we've talked to says you have to allow it to happen. Like you have to be open about it, and your fear helps you to be open for that.
Fear lowers your vibration.
Yeah.
So, but they told me recently that there is no such thing as an attachment, that beings can be so close to you that they feel like an attachment, but they can't actually attach unless they match your vibration. And a ghost walking around is not going to match your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they said you can have things so close to you that you feel them and you sense them, but they're not attached. Mm-hmm. And they do have to leave if you tell them to.
Oh.
So that was good to know. And and they said, you know, I think we talked about it last time, that there's no demons. There's just really ugly humans that became ugly. And the more they do things, the uglier they get.
Yeah.
So in that sense, you know, they're demonic, but they're not a demon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it made me feel good to know that they don't actually attach.
Mm-hmm.
They just,
that is really good to know, close. Because.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can push them off with your energy.
That's good to know too. And good to know how.
Yeah, bring universal light through the top of your head and just blast it out your pores.
Oh.
They can't hang.
Okay. Nice.
That's good.
In that light. They can't exist in that light.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That is, yeah, Jenny did mention that too about the light will keep us safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the main deal right there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just gotta get out of my own way.
Yeah.
It's not easy, especially when you're raising children and living life. And, you know, it became far easier to me once I was retired and didn't have to think about all those other things so much.
Sure.
I get that. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
I know.
Well, I enjoy doing the galleries, but there are times I get tired of some of the other sometimes.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
That would make
I remember
sense.
You talking about the galleries and how much fun you had with them.
I enjoy those so much.
Yeah. So, I would love to be involved in one of those.
I know.
Well, next time I'm in Minnesota, we'll just do one.
Yeah. If you ever have to come back to the Mayo Clinic, we can meet you halfway or something.
We could even meet down there in Rochester.
It didn't even occur to me until, because we had some downtime there waiting in between testing weeks and stuff. And we went up expecting to be there 8 to 10 days and ended up being there 20, because they kept adding tests and adding tests.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think. We did go over to Prince's place and check it out. And, we did talk to him just a little bit.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Good.
He talked about he was with 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read his history, he had one that died, but he also had his wife had his, I don't know if they were married or not, but she had 2 miscarriages before that 3rd one. And I didn't know that until I came back.
I didn't know he had any kids at all.
He had one that died as an infant. And
that's
devastated.
Vaguely familiar to me. Okay. I think I may have heard that before.
My guess is I came back and researched.
Yeah. He's with those spirits in the afterlife.
He saw those, But he also, he called the facility a trap. He felt trapped there.
Oh.
And he said, they killed me.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it was, and there were other little things, not a lot. His child's mother's first name, and I didn't know what that was either until I researched later.
Wasn't it Apollonia?
It
started with an M. Apollonia, someone else, but it was
an unusual name.
Yeah, it was like it started with an M, like Miley or not Miley, but you know something like that.
Very unusual.
Miley Cyrus.
No, I'm not married to Miley Cyrus. Are you looking it up, Megan?
Yeah, I sure am.
Then I won't.
But that was kind of fun to do that.
That's
Maddie Della Shaw.
Maddie,
what was it?
Maddie. Yeah, M-A-Y-T-E. The mother of
Maytay.
Maytay. Yeah. The mother of Prince's only child, a son named Emir Gregory Nelson. Hmm. Was his ex-wife, dancer, and actress Maytay. Their son was born with Pfeiffer syndrome in 96 and died just 7 days later.
Yeah, it was
7 days. Wow.
And she'd miscarried twice before that, or someone had.
Yeah.
But when he said he was with 3 children, I had to go do research when I got back to the hotel. So that was fun.
I'm glad he's happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I No offense to anybody who loves him. I just think he's overrated.
No, you don't like him. My mom doesn't like him either.
I never say I didn't like him. Okay. I said I think he's overrated.
Okay.
Over
but
time,
I can't
I became...
say that in Minnesota because I will be tarred and feathered.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Over time, I came to appreciate him much more than in the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
I like
he
some of his songs, but they're just like Purple Rain is like 900 minutes long. Like it is so
song itself,
long.
So while we were there, they were playing soundtracks. And I heard some songs I'd never heard before that were incredible. And it's like, why weren't these on the radio? Mm-hmm. Why was it just Purple Rain and Little Red Corvette? You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh,
this was a bluesy rock. Man, it was an awesome song. Really? I'm still trying to find it.
He was so talented. Like, he really was a talented individual. He was a good lyricist. He was a good songwriter.
He played every music, every instrument.
I mean, he was so talented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the songs that they released were just not his best.
That's usually how it is.
the ones that appeal to the masses. And
the ones
about,
that they thought would make the most money.
Think about the masses. I mean, really. How many of you really expect to have an appreciation of music or of diversity? Or and he came along at a time when men didn't strut around on the stage with their butt hanging out.
Wear high heels.
Exactly. So there
was this big, so he had to wear high heels.
He had to.
He was shorter than me.
Well, that's It was a fun visit.
Good. I'm glad. And I'm glad he's happy where he's at.
He seemed to be, yes.
Good.
He did. So that was good.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble for not buying people t-shirts.
Oh, how
that's the true crime right there.
Yeah, I've never been to his place.
Me neither.
Well, we were going to do the tour and we got there too late. It was sold out. But there's a public area you can go into. And he had a like a bar lounge that he would do random concerts in. And that was playing constant music and videos and the exterior. And then ultimately, we were glad we didn't go on the tour because it was more technical production stuff and studios.
Okay.
So we got to play and I got to meet some of his young nephews that work there. And
nice. That's so cool that they have his family working there.
Yeah. Yeah. One guy, I said, you must be a relative. And he said he was a great nephew, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so handsome young
the
man.
The only famous place I've been is Graceland.
I have not been there.
Oh,
I've not been there.
It was so much smaller than I thought.
Really?
Like, it is not very big for you hear
what
like
you
mansion
expect.
And you're like, oh my God, it's huge. It was not very big at all.
Really?
Mm-mm. But we took the tour and so I went on his jet and his, you know, throughout his stables and everything. And
that's cool.
It was very neat. I kind of want to go back now, maybe after I open myself up a little bit and see if there's anything there that I could tap into. But it was very unique. A fun fact, yesterday, September 9th in 1956, was his first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh,
really? I just watched a documentary on Ed Sullivan Show that if you have not seen it, watch it.
Where was it?
I think I saw that pop up in my...
I think it's Netflix, maybe.
Yeah. It's,
it was an extraordinary documentary.
Okay.
Netflix, I will say, their documentaries are really good. Every documentary I've watched on Netflix has been interesting. It's been... it's captured my attention. I've learned something. So I think Netflix does really, really good documentaries.
Yeah.
We
I'm
are not
sure
sponsored by
was.
Netflix.
I'm pretty sure that's where it was. And it was, I'm sure there's some others there, but it was the newest one. And it was just extraordinary. Just the clips of these people performing and just the story of how he ended up doing that and how long it was just really watch it. If you appreciate music at all.
You know, the Ed Sullivan Show, I feel like was such a gateway for so many different artists, not only musical artists, but for television. I mean, I don't think there had been a show like his before.
No, he stood up for his racially diverse artists. He went toe to toe with producers and owners to stand up for. And I really appreciated that piece. Yeah. And the time that he actually hugged a Black woman for the first time, they lost their minds. And he had to really, you know, his fans had to come to his defense.
Good. So, I'm glad he did that.
Sadly, the day we visited Prince was the day that the legislators were killed there. And so that was we had just gotten back to the hotel room and it's like, you know.
Yeah, that was
so rough.
That was, it cut me to the core. It did.
Yeah.
I guess because I was sitting in the energy of it for part of the reason. And I'm just sick of mean people.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I'm sick of death. I'm sick of unwarranted death.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell myself, some of these people chose to die before they came into this life.
Sure.
In order to accomplish something. So then you got to look at it that way. And it's like, who am I to say? But it makes me sad regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's people here that are still here that are sad for these people. And, you know, that's
struggling
maybe that's
with
part
it.
Of what they signed up for, too, you know, before they got here. But yeah, it's still sad.
And another one
really
today,
was.
Another school shooting today.
And you're not really hearing anything about the school shooting. You're just hearing about the other one. It's like,
yeah, I didn't hear anything about a school shooting today. I just heard about the guy
in
that
Denver.
Was, yeah.
Huh. So yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
I read a quote, the man who was killed today, Mr. Kirk. I read a quote where he had said, there has to be some death by gun violence in order to protect our Second Amendment rights.
Yep. Some gun deaths, unfortunately, are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
and,
I mean,
it's
he
truth,
said
I
it,
guess.
so
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic.
And ironic. I've been trying to sense some stuff on that, and it'll be interesting to see what I actually pick up on it.
Yeah. So your shows that you do, these things you talked about that are coming up, you mentioned belly dancers, you mentioned tarot card readings. Is it kind of like a trade show? Like you go in and just kind of sign up for things and pick and choose what you want to do?
Well,
it kind
it's
of
a
sounds
vendor
like a
show.
bazaar. Oh, wait, that's
It
what it's
is.
called.
It
Oh, my
is.
God.
That the for the Saturdays, they're vendor shows. So there's lots of vendors there with crystals and dead animal skins and whatever it is they want to sell. And
As
then
you have.
there are, and then there are, I was shocked the last time we did, one of the vendors had dead cat skins, roadkill cat skins. We had to have a talk. But anyway,
had to have a sit down.
Post show assessment, yes.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of vendors, and then you'll have a lot of psychics, energy workers, tarot readers, mediums, whatever their specialty. And usually that's all there is, but we like to add entertainment to it just to kind of make them a little different.
Sure.
So
that sounds fun.
They are. They really are.
We'll have to do a road trip sometime, Megan.
You
we'll
should.
Have to go down
Boom.
There. Do one of those.
Good.
That sounds like
I'm
a good
ready.
Time.
They're,
yeah, I'm ready.
They're not huge. The one Saturday has maybe 50 vendors, and then the three different entertainment
that's
groups
pretty big.
Performing twice. And then the one in October has 60 to 70 vendors and lots of entertainment. So
that sounds pretty big.
Decent.
Yeah.
Like
bigger
when you
than
say
I was
not
picturing.
Very big, I'm like, that's 10 vendors. You're like, it has 50. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They've grown through the years for sure.
Yeah.
But they're a lot of fun. They really are.
Yeah. And you run these through your mama Ruby's, right? You run that through that. Okay.
My business partners now,
Nice. How long have you been doing them?
We started owning a company in 2017, I guess. And I got away from that partner in 2019 and got new partners, and we've been doing them since.
Good. Okay.
So Jim and I used to be vendors when we first retired and would set up at these shows. And as time went on, we got tired of vending and decided to just own the shows.
Sure.
Cool. Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with 3-Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. That sounds fun.
And Mama Ruby was my name in a past life that I found out about under hypnosis, under life regression therapy. And regression hypnosis. So that's why it's named Mama Ruby's.
Cool.
That was really neat.
Yeah. What was Mama Ruby all about? That sounds like she was a psychic or something.
She sounds like she was a Romani.
Mama Ruby was a Black lady who lived near New Orleans many, many years ago. She was a Black slave.
Yeah.
She lived in a cabin on a swamp. And she was the local herbalist.
Sure.
And her owner, or the person who believed they owned her,
yes,
was lenient towards her because she would give him the scoop when who would come to get something to abort a baby, who would come to get something for love, who would come to get. So because she didn't
she
tell
gave
him all
the tea.
Not all of it, but some of it, enough to keep him. And all the townspeople came there because that's what she did. And, you know, they'd bring her a chicken or a pie or something, and she would provide a potion or a lotion.
Sure.
And they called her Mama Ruby. So it was under hypnotic regression. It was so real that I could taste and smell and feel. I was there.
Wow.
But I was also in this chair here. But I could sense, I had all my senses there.
Yeah.
And I was her.
Wow.
So that's
so
who Mama
cool.
Ruby is. On the Mama Ruby's website, it talks about it a little bit. Who was Mama Ruby?
Okay.
So
I'm interested in this past life regression. How does that work? I mean, when
powerful,
you go to somebody
powerful.
Do that.
First and foremost, if you have it done, go only to someone who didn't just take a class somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is board certified, someone who's done the work, or a hypnotherapist who is a therapist and understands the safe and most usable way to do it. I went to a lady who had practiced for years. She was a hypnotherapist. She was a licensed certified therapist. And it took her about an hour to get me completely under. I guess my subconscious didn't want to give in.
Oh,
sure.
And then she kept me under 3 hours.
Holy
and then
shit.
It took about an hour to come back out. So she did not record what I said because there's so much space between what I would say. She would just write it down, transcribe it.
Oh, okay.
And and then give me the transcription.
Okay.
But as she put me under, she told me to look at the earth down below me and then to look at my feet and see where they landed on the earth. And that's how she would start it. What do you have on your feet? What does it look like around you? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? And the first time I had it done, she told me, now keep this in mind if you ever have it done. She said, go to the therapist with one or two specific questions you want to know. Otherwise, you just jump around lives and don't really get anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
My questions were, why do I understand medicine and I've never had any training? was one, and I can't remember what the other one was. But anyway, or what was something I needed to know. That was my other one. They wanted me to know. And so Mama Ruby is an herbalist that answered that question.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the other one in that line, I'm trying to remember. I've had four different lives that they've shown me in two different sessions. And I can't remember which one occurred in which session. I know Mama Ruby's was the first session. And another one, I was a young man, like an Aztec or something to that. And they showed me in a field going towards these low pyramids with steps, you know, not the big ones, these little ones like in, I don't know where. But I ran my hand up the side of the steps and I could feel all these symbols and I knew what those symbols meant.
Wow.
And at the top, they showed me a path and there was a thing with a pink ball on it and I had to go there and they showed me how to take back my power where I had given it away to people through the years.
Wow.
And they showed me the technique to do that.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful. I use it still today. And then one of them was this was the other one the first time. I would say someone from biblical times, a young man. And my question was, why was I afraid to take risks? And he was an artist, but he was frail. His family kicked him out because he's basically worthless. So he's going to take these things he'd taken to this city to try to show himself as an artist, as a jewelry maker. And along the way, he got attacked and hit in the head. And so by the time he got there, he was not well. But then a charlatan played a game and took everything he had. And he just kind of went over in the corner and lay down and died.
Jeez.
And she usually would not let people see their death.
Yeah.
But she let me not only see my death, but what happened after that.
Oh.
And that is when I got the understanding and the power of who I am and what I do.
Wow.
So that was pretty important.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And then one was a young woman who had her heart ripped out by a guy.
Literally? Like literally or figuratively?
Literally.
Holy shit.
It was like back in the beginning of time. And so this particular tribe of people, if you were born with blue eyes, no one would have anything to do with you because you were going to be sacrificed when you started your period.
Oh, my God.
And so this man, this leader, would sexually abuse these girls and then rip their heart out and sacrifice them.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
I mean, as and, you do.
And I looked in his eyes as he did this. And I asked them, I asked in the meditation, in the hypnosis, why was I being shown this? And they said, because you're going to meet this man in your lifetime and you're going to help bring him down.
Wow.
Because he abuses children.
Nice.
If I've done that, I don't know it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I still have time to do it. So,
yeah.
So those were all done with a trained hypnotherapist. They were all powerful, important sessions.
What
and they
caused
all
you
helped
to
me resolve my issues.
Yeah.
What caused you to kind of search that out, or how did you kind of get introduced to that topic?
Well, I guess I read Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters, and I got fascinated and started believing in reincarnation. Best book, if you've never read it, do it.
Okay, sure.
So Brian Wise was some big poobah at Mount Sinai Hospital, and he gave it all up when he realized he could regress people and help them figure things out in their current life based on what happened in their past life.
Wow.
So I became intrigued with that, and then I had a friend who was the hypnotherapist. But, you know, friend had nothing to do with it. It was a client deal, and it was so powerful that I went back and did it a second time a few years later to resolve a question or two.
Sure. Has your husband done it?
He has not, but he's intrigued by past lives. But he gets a lot of information on that from me and other people.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So he knows he's had some pretty powerful ones. that he didn't find out about from me.
Well, so, I mean, he can talk to dragons. So, yeah, I would
yes,
think
he can.
That would
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
That's indicative of someone who's pretty powerful. So.
Yeah.
Been around a long time. And
yeah.
Held a lot of power.
Yeah.
So,
how many past lives has he had?
I
do you
think
know?
412, maybe.
Wow.
Hey, Pete, do you remember how many past lives you've had? Oh, 1,100.
Oh, my goodness.
Or so, 1,100.
You were.
Change.
Man, I thought I was good with my 300. And he's
yeah.
like,
well, that's most people are 300 or 400.
He's like, yeah. sit down. I've 1,100.
Well, you're going to have a few more before you're a Dragonmeister.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
they
cool.
are showing themselves more. We're running into more and more people who are having dragon experiences. So that
really,
they are beginning to
Is
show
that
themselves.
Good or bad?
I think it's good if they learn how to work with them.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like in the world that we're in right now and what's going on in the world that a lot more spirituality and psychics and people that speak to dragons and all that is sort of coming to the surface, maybe because of what's going on? I've heard people say that. And it, I don't know if it's just my algorithm, but when I'm on TikTok and Instagram, that's all I'm seeing. I mean, not all. I see a lot of other stuff, but that I see more and more and more and more of that. And
I
feel
see
like.
More legitimate readers
Okay.
getting quieter.
Oh.
There's a little bit of fear out there.
Sure.
That
I'm sure there is.
That some religious zealots could target some groups again. And so
sure.
I know some who
they already are
getting quieter.
Yeah.
But I know others that the fear in the world right now and the anger and the frustration is really lowering vibrations. And so those that work with energy, those that do that work really need to step it up right now. And maybe that's what you're seeing, hopefully.
Maybe.
Is people trying to find something to hang on to because the other thing cannot serve them. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's hard to remember to not buy into all that fear. And
I have a hard
it's
time.
It's really hard. Yeah, it's really
hard.
I
mean, I should know absolutely not to let. But see, I feel like people need to understand these things. People need to know what's going on. So I feel the need to make them aware, which actually lowers my vibration because it puts
sure.
me in a place not of light.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
That's hard.
Do what you have
It's
to
hard
do.
To know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And keeping fear out is difficult.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem
yeah.
with that part of it so much. But I know that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you recommend people that will be listening to this do if they're the kind of person who just like gets exhausted listening to the news or watching the news or, you know, try not
I
to
have
keep
a lot
up
of
to date
friends
because
who
it's
just
hard.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
I have one of my business partners and her husband are like that. They just don't watch it.
Yeah.
I can't
do that. I have to know what's
yeah.
going on. That's just my nature to want to know
yeah.
what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And because if I'm going to blast some light out, I need to know I need to.
Yeah. And
So,
where to put it.
Yeah, exactly. They've told people millions of times in galleries and such that if you can raise your vibration, you raise the vibration of 143,000 other people.
Wow.
So, you know, it's our job to keep our energy elevated, to elevate all those others. And as we do that, we can get over some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, imagine if everybody who could do that was doing that. I mean, that would cover
a lot of people.
A lot of us.
Yeah. A lot of people. So
yeah.
I think if people feel like they're just down and being overwhelmed by it all, they just need to sit and blast out the light. They need to go watch stupid movies and laugh. They need to find things that make them happy, like eating a cake, whatever it is.
You heard it here, folks. Beverly told you to eat cake. I'm going to buy a sheet cake and I'm going to say I'm eating it to be happy.
And buttercream icing
me.
Will make you happier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buttercream icing will make you happiest.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't even come at me with anything else.
Anything else.
Buttercream or nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's important for everybody to know right now. Do
okay.
those things that make you happy, because when you're happy, you raise the vibration of a lot of other people.
Okay.
Here's where I'm struggling. This may be a bit of an extreme comparison, but I really am afraid that we're heading into like a 1940s Germany.
We are.
And if that's the case, then I'm scared to do anything. I'm scared to, you know, post anything, because what's stopping them from hunting people down, you know, who say things like it's I'm honestly, I can't think about it because I'm petrified.
I'm so scared.
I'm so scared of what's going to come, of who they're going to target next. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying to me.
Well, in my vessels group, when I open it to questions on any subject, the subject has come up several times. How long for this current political situation? And they said that person will leave in 9 to 18 months. Now, I don't know how they're going to leave. I don't know if that means death or just being too ill or what. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they said that things would go into quite a flux then, but that people would find their power again. In a gallery, they said, those that I talked to said that he was Henry the Eighth. Is that right? Yeah. In a past life. Henry the Eighth.
I could see that.
And that a part of him was Rasputin, the Mad Monk.
I could see that too.
Oh.
Yeah.
And knew how to manipulate people to the extreme.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He manipulated a whole family.
And he did understand somewhat the power of intention, the power of manifestation.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, was fascinating.
That is fascinating. But
it made perfect sense to me when they told me that.
Yeah.
So recently in some of the vessel's questions, someone asked if anything was going to be done to save democracy. Mm-hmm. And they said it already has been done in the future. It's already been done. It already exists, and people need to understand it already exists. But we're still writing the future, so we can still change it by being ignorant. So it's like it's there. We just have to have faith that it's there and go in that direction that it was already done. And then someone said, well, won't the universe, the angels, won't they all come down and save us? And they're like, why would we? Mm-mm. They're like, we gave you every single tool you need to live magnificent lives, and you squandered it. Why would we come bail you out? We'll just start over again. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, if you think about it, this is a fleck of time in their existence.
Yeah.
It's like not even on their radar.
Exactly. It's there and it's gone. And
they've blinked, and that's how long we're in existence.
It's so wild. Exactly.
I know. It makes my brain hurt.
Time, thinking about time makes my brain hurt.
Because the thing that makes my brain hurt most about it is it doesn't really exist.
Right.
It's a man-made thing.
Yeah.
Right. It's not time. It's vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
it's trippy to think about. 330
vibration.
And it's trippy. Yeah, it's just really trippy to think about.
It's hard. It's hard to wrap your brain around that the past, future, and present are all happening at once and just at different vibrational levels.
That's insane.
Is that what they mean when they say, like, you're jumping a timeline or you go to another timeline? It's kind of just that.
Mm-hmm. Like when I looked up those steps, there was like a point there where these times merged, and it's like you just got a vision of it there for a second. And it's sort of what I do to tell people their future sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like I change my vibration and I pick up what's going on.
Cool. That's crazy. I don't know if I would want to know my future.
Yeah, and plus it's nebulous. I mean, it's not set in stone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we have free will.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the ones I talk to so crazy. They're like, why do we give them free will? They're stupid. But anyway.
I mean, I feel what they're thinking because we are stupid. But
yeah.
So if something in your future is not something you want, change it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not set in stone yet. It is.
I would.
But you change it by the minute. You're writing your book by the second.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel so much pressure if I knew my future. It's all I would think about.
And
I can't, I don't, because
I'm just thinking about it, you would probably change it.
Yeah, I don't want it. I think about this shockingly a lot.
I mean, I can tell people, yes, you're going to get a new job offer in 4 months, and yes, you should take it. That's kind of not life shattering, you know.
Yeah,
right.
But I'm not going to tell somebody that in 14 months they're going to have a choice between living or dying when they make this decision, you know, because that's their decision.
Yeah.
So,
like, I would not want to know when I died. I don't
no,
want to
I
know
don't
that.
want, I do not want to know. And they never tell me when anyone's going to die.
I just, I,
they
that
might
would
give
be.
Me a range, or they may say, well, that person, I mean, it's obvious they're 92 years old. They are going to die before long.
They're
going to
flip
the
their
best
vet.
thing that person can do is be kinder to them and be patient. You know, I can tell people that kind of thing in readings. But they'll never tell me exactly when someone's going to die.
Which I don't think anybody should have that power to know that.
Me neither.
Me That's neither. Too much.
Yeah.
They want us to spend our time living.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not worrying about dying.
Not worrying about dying. We're going to die. What? It's going to happen. Why focus on it? You know?
It's just part of living.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the life. We could be the death. Who knows? Think about
Dang,
that
Dang, Beverly.
One.
You're dropping some bombs on us tonight.
Yeah.
And talking about ghosts, we were wondering recently if they see us as ghosts from their timeline.
We've talked about that.
I think in some
what
situations,
do you think?
They probably, I think in some situations, I think it's where they are in space and time. And, and if they know they died or not, if they don't know, they're probably seeing their old existence. And if we suddenly appeared in it,
yeah,
it'd be pretty scary.
We've talked about this so many times. We're like, what if when we see a ghost, they're not actually ghosts? They're living in their time, and we like
and
slip the time,
us.
And they're seeing
and
us, and they think we're ghosts.
Well, kind of like you said, those little kids that you saw at that, that wasn't
Cupola
Prince's
Club.
Place, right? That was
no, that was at the place
cupola.
We're doing the event.
Yeah. And did they appear to see you?
No.
Okay.
They were
but
looking
I
at
wonder,
something down the steps and laughing like they weren't supposed to be peeking around the corner, like they were looking down at their parents doing something. They did not see us.
Okay.
Are you able
or I don't
to
feel
tell
like
the,
they did.
Yeah.
Are you able to tell the difference between like residual energy and like actual ghosts?
It takes some thought, and it takes them telling me or not. It's like most times I'll sense it. But sometimes it takes me asking.
So somebody could see residual energy and think it's a ghost, and it's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. We had a ghost in our old home, and people would see him come through our house. And one person who was psychic heard him saying, "The barns are burning, the barns are burning." So we think that, well, we know that our house had been a farm. So we think it was the farmer doing his chores every day for 80 years, doing the same chores. And so when you'd see him walk through the house, he would just walk into the barn to feed the cows, you know. He'd just done it so many times, he left an energetic pattern, which is what residual
thoughts
are. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What happened there, Megan?
Somehow I hit the volume on my headset and
we can barely hear you too.
Yeah, you need to turn yourself up, light it up, girl.
Is that better?
Yeah.
So somehow I hit the volume on my headset and it cranked it all the way up, and I almost shit my pants. So
that would do it.
Yeah, your face. I thought you'd seen a ghost or something.
Enjoy
as we were discussing.
Enjoy watching that back, Amy, because.
Oh, that'll be.
I saw you take your headphone off.
Yeah,
I almost shit my pants. It was. I'm surprised I didn't fall off my chair, to be completely honest.
That would be enough to do it for sure.
Yeah. Almost. I think the only thing keeping me on was the fact that my headphones were connected.
Yeah, they're connected.
You'll like this little ghost episode. Jim and I were playing with an app that we like, a ghost app, the other night. Jim said, "I feel somebody around me." So I got the app out and I asked who was there.
There's a ghost app?
I have some
of
them. What's it
apps.
Called? What's the
this
one you like?
This one that I like, I'll grab my phone. Would you look that up and tell me what that app is?
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, I'll get it here in a minute. It's on my phone,
gosh.
So I'll get it. But it's an app that we like that seems to be very accurate.
Sure.
And we've used it to help cross some people over.
Wow, that's
But
neat.
Jim said he felt something around him, and I said, is there something around Jim? Who is it? And it said skull, which is where it was. And I said, well, who's hanging out with Jim? And it said Beverly. And then it cracked up. So.
Oh my God.
A joke making ghost.
Yeah.
Or could it have been Beverly from the future? Beverly's spirit from the future.
Could have been Beverly from, who knows?
Yeah.
But,
or from the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something to think about now. I have to think about
now,
that.
Now, Beverly, I can't think about that. I will go and I will just sit here going, what is even happening? You asked the
ghost. This ghost app, I have a favorite ghost group that I watch on YouTube now called Twin Paranormal.
Okay.
And
are they
they're
twins?
Our new favorites. They are twins. And then there's a third one that's a friend. And they get a lot of crap because people think they're making stuff up. But they're actually, this app is called Spirit Talker.
Okay, I'm going
to
get
Talker.
It right
okay.
now.
Mm-hmm. I have one called Ghost Tube.
Looks
and
like
it
that.
Does the same. Okay. I have one called Ghost
This,
Tube, and it does the same kind of thing where it'll say
I
words.
have that one also. This one is the most accurate I've ever seen.
Okay.
What's it called, Beverly? Spirit what?
Spirit Talker. I saw this on Twin Paranormal, this app, and I downloaded it just for the heck of it, and it turns out that it's been very accurate for us.
Cool.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, yeah, Twin Paranormal, two young men and their friend, and all the TV big kubah ghost hunters give them crap because they don't take themselves too seriously. They have fun. They're polite. And because of that, because
Good.
They're having fun and polite, they're getting tons of responses. And the ones I
imagine that.
And the ones that I talk to tell me that they're very accurate, that they're the real deal.
Imagine that. Being polite gets you far in life,
yeah.
or
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people never learn that.
Or they,
yep.
yeah, or they ignore
well,
it.
Yeah. These young men figured it out. So,
good for
and
them.
They
good.
Are genuinely kind.
What's
good.
That one show on Discovery that we watched for Ghost Brothers, I think it was?
Oh,
I
Ghost
love
Brothers.
Ghost Brothers. We had
they
the other
are
one of it.
So funny.
We had Jawan and we had two.
Yeah,
Jawan
really.
And what is the, what are their names?
I can't remember the other names now.
Well, we had two of the Ghost Brothers at two of our shows, and they were a hoot. They were so fun and so nice and so
Oh, good.
Just nice.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
They're clothing designers by trade.
Oh,
and
what?
Yeah.
Daylan Spratt, Jawan
Daylan.
Mass,
It was
and
Daylan
Marcus
and
Harvey.
Marcus.
We had Daylan and Jawan. Marcus's wife
Okay.
had an injury at that time and he couldn't come.
Oh.
So those two, Jawan and Daylan, are clothing designers. They own a company.
Wow.
And they have a nonprofit that provides suits to young, impoverished senior men. So that they can take someone to the prom, they wear a suit, and then
Oh,
they have
okay,
the suit
that is
to,
adorable.
and then they have the suit to interview in or to be
Oh,
professional in as they go
that's
forth
so
into their
sweet.
lives. And so that tells you a lot about those guys.
Yes, it does. That tells me all I need to know.
Yeah,
but they were great guests. We had the Tennessee Wraith Chasers at a couple shows, and they were fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not as fun as the Ghost Brothers, but they were fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tall order. They're pretty fun.
Ghost
They're
Brothers
pretty
are great.
Fun.
I love
we
that
had
show.
Chip Coffee at a couple of our shows, and
stop it right now.
he's
is he as
very,
sweet as he seems?
Is he as sweet as he seems? Because he seems like
sweet with a big ego.
Oh, sure. I can see that.
But also very nice.
I mean, to be fair,
and
he is Chip Coffee.
He's like, kind of deserved it. You know, he's kind of earned it.
As long as he's sweet about it.
Yeah.
He is very. We had Kim Russo at one of our shows.
Oh, my God.
And
God,
she used to be Psychic to the Stars. And she, lots of books and television.
Sure.
And she gave me a very accurate reading.
Nice.
So,
a personal reading for you? Personal reading?
Mm-hmm. Is it weird to be a psychic and get a reading from another person? I would
I don't
imagine.
often do it. I have one person who channels. She talks to God. She calls him the dude. She talks to the dude and she channels the dude's messages. And I get readings from her because I know they're accurate.
Yeah.
Her name is Rose Campbell.
Okay.
And then she's in Cincinnati. And
nice.
Then there's a reader called Leanne. Well, shoot, I just lost her last name. Logs.
Chin.
Yes. Loggins. Thank goodness he's sitting here.
Loggins.
Leanne
Dang,
Loggins.
Jim is saving the day left, right, and center
today.
He
is. She was my mentor. And through her readings, she kept pushing me to read because she kept saying, they're saying they're really getting tired of waiting on you. You're supposed to be doing this. And so I trust her to give me reading.
Yeah,
And occasionally I'll get one from someone just to be nice and buy a reading, but it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
But Renee... Kim Russo, I had to get one from since she was doing them. So,
yeah, for sure.
And it was very good, very accurate.
Do they, the one that is in Cincinnati, I can't remember her name.
Rose Campbell.
Rose Campbell. Does she do readings for other people? Like, can people contact her through a website or something?
She's on Facebook as Sessions with Spirit. And I think that may be her website name too. She does our shows and she's a friend. Her readings are very different. I'm sure a lot of people sit down with her expecting a half an hour, and it's not like that. You get, boom, a channel message, and you do with it what you want. She doesn't interpret it very much.
Yeah.
But her messages, Jim and I get one from her about every 6 months.
Oh,
just
nice.
To see what's going on.
Yeah.
And, or at least once a year.
Yeah.
And
maybe I'll look
she
into it.
She's salty. She's sassy. You'll
nice.
Like her.
I love it.
She would be a good.
Oh,
podcast.
Yeah. We should see if she wants to come on.
She's written two books that are fascinating.
Okay.
One can we name drop you, Beverly?
You can. She wrote a book, Diana, which she channeled Princess Diana after her death.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
things in her book,
wow.
things that I received as well. So I feel like it's very accurate.
Yeah.
And then she wrote one channeling Martin Luther King after his death.
Wow.
And it's not her just trying to make money off a book.
Sure.
It's just they contacted her and said, we want you to tell this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she hasn't done it. Well, the books are hard to find right now because she got hold of a bad publisher.
Oh.
And I need to help her through some of that.
Yeah.
So it's not about that for her. It's about doing what she knows she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And what
she's
they
a hairdresser
want her to
by
do.
Trade. Yeah.
I love her. She sounds amazing.
Yeah, she sounds fun.
She is salty.
She's, love salty.
I love her. And sassy.
Maybe she can teach me to be salty because I'm not salty enough.
It's a good thing to be able to turn on when you need it.
Yeah.
When you
I have
need
it in
it,
me, but I can't actually be salty to other people. Like, I can sit here and be like, say, I'm going to go talk to Dave and give him a what for. And then I don't because I'm afraid.
Well, I don't like conflict either. So I get that.
No,
I try to avoid conflict when I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like most people do, but... Although, Beverly, I feel like with those sassy headphones, you're ready to take conflict.
I mean,
look at that.
Look, check it out. I mean,
look, they're delightful.
They are.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I was really excited by them.
They are.
They're really
very
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Bose
good.
Is a top brand. He did really well.
He
good
did
job,
really
Jim.
Well.
Oh,
they
Bose.
Said, good
I
job, Jim,
yep.
On my headphones.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, who are these people?
He's over there listening.
Okay.
So.
I won't say anything too bad. Just kidding. Just kidding.
He can't hear you.
Perfect.
All right.
So,
well,
ladies.
Do we have anything else we want to cover? Is there anything you wanted to make sure us and our listeners know?
I want your listeners to know to do everything they can to make themselves happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do everything they can to laugh, because when we laugh, our vibration goes off the chart. And if that's stupid movies, watch them all day long. I want everybody to know that the most powerful thing they can do right now, even if they don't feel like it, is be kind. Because there's not a lot of kindness right
it's
now.
It's so hard right now. It is so hard.
Yeah,
when
it is.
all we see around us is hatred and bigotry and racism and fear and
and
it's hard.
Lies.
And as somebody who's I'm struggling with that myself, like I'm struggling so hard with it.
Buttercream.
I know.
Buttercream. Cake.
I do the cake. You know what? It's Beverly told me to, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell
you. You're doing it for the universe.
The universe is giving you the message.
I'm doing it for the world and Beverly's headphones.
And tell them that every time they raise their vibration, they raise the vibration of 143,000 other people.
Wow.
Is there a way that people like can, I'm sure there is. That's a stupid question. How do people go ahead and raise, like, can we consciously raise our vibration?
Meditation.
Okay.
You can consciously do it in meditation. You can intentionally do it by laughter or being around people that make you happy or doing things that make you happy. Cats purring.
Cats are the best. You heard it here first, everybody.
Yes.
Thank
so
you,
there's
Beverly.
That. And find people to just be kind to and any way you can show love, show it. Because that's what the universe really is, if you could put a word on it. That's what universal energy, that's what source, God, whatever you want to call it, is. If we had a human word, the dude, if we had a word that we could put on it. I asked her why she made him a dude. You know, could have been a dame.
Right? Yeah. Especially in the movie Dogma, she's a woman.
Alanis Morissette. Exactly. I forgot about that movie. I need to watch it.
That's a good one.
That's the thing. When you were talking,
tell them to watch Dogma. Yeah. It's a good one.
Earlier, when you were saying about how the angels, you know, are mad or they're not going to help us, it made me think of the scene in Dogma when they're in the parking garage. And Ben Affleck is so mad because God gave humans a choice. And they can choose to.
They're kind of angry about it too. Yeah.
You know, it just, that's one of my, that's my, I think that's my all time favorite scene in a movie ever, which is
saying a lot
because I don't like Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a huge fan either, but you're right about
that's
that.
That is such a poignant and just a moving scene and a deep scene for the movie.
Resident Alien makes me laugh. We just wrapped it up last night, the fourth season. So
I'm so sad that it's done.
That was a horror movie about zombies.
Oh, no, Resident Alien. Resident, this is hilarious.
That's Resident something else.
That's the game.
Resident Evil. That's Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
There you go.
Four seasons. I've laughed all the way through it.
Yes, it's hilarious. Megan, that's the one with, I've talked about it before, Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yeah.
I just wrapped up Wednesday. Wednesday was fun, but it was darker this season.
Yeah, Wednesday's pretty dark.
The season was much darker.
Yeah, I don't think I'm caught up yet, but it's good.
Yeah.
I've only seen one episode. But I love Jenna Ortega.
Yeah,
I love
great.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
And I love, oh my God, his name just escaped me.
Luis Guzman.
Yes.
Luis Guzman.
Well, we just wrapped that up a couple nights ago and it was darker. But still fun.
Yeah.
So tell them to do things that make them happy.
Okay.
And
eat the cake.
And know that cake. They are not alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Beverly.
That's a very
uplifting and wonderful message to have for people.
Yeah.
Especially when they're feeling
dark.
Just
a few more months.
Yeah. We will come through this.
Thank you, ladies. It was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beverly.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Okay. Don't worry.
I'm going to cut off my little fancy, sassy headphones and and go watch AGT.
Yeah,
that
there
sounds
you go.
Good. That sounds right. Really good. Bye, Beverly. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Could she be any cuter?
I know.
Cannot handle her.
She's great.
Her and her husband, I feel like they're goals.
Yeah. Maybe next time we'll have to have him on, too.
Yes.
I would like to know more about talking to dragons.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He just seems like so cool.
Yeah.
From what she said. I have no idea.
Yeah, he does. I'm sure he's cool.
I'm sure she's cool.
She's a dragon meister.
She's not going to marry somebody not cool. She's
right.
Beverly.
Right.
Come on now.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was great. And
yes,
we will probably have her on again sometime, maybe even with the Dragon Meister, Jim.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.